देहं प्राणमपीन्द्रियाण्यपि च ला बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदुः स्त्रीबालान्धजटोपमास्त्वहमिति भ्रान्ता भृशं वादिनः मायाशक्तिविलासकल्पितमहाव्योमोहव्यामोहसंहारिणे तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये. So this is the fifth shloka, and in the fourth shloka of Dakshinamurti Stotram, Shankaracharya, he pointed out that Atma Tattvam is very much available as the very first person singular I. So Atma, the pure existence, has to be recognized in only one way, that is I, the conscious principle. And this I can be compared to the sunlight or the candlelight within a pot. If you remember those examples, just as the candlelight illumines the external dark room world by means of five apertures through the holes, or the sunlight brightens up the contents of a dark room through a mirror, combining both the examples, I, the light of consciousness, illumine the world through the mind and five apertures, the sense organs. We saw all these in the last webinar. And the mind is comparable to mirror of the previous example, and the sense organs are comparable to the apertures of the second example. So, I alone through the mind and sense organs illumine the external world. And this I continues to be evident all the time. And Shankaracharya says, in every illumination that I do in the waking state, it reveals the existence of two things. One, the object that is illumined, and I as the illuminator. So two things are evident in every perception. And in the first four shlokas, Shankaracharya has summarized the whole Vedanta. In fact, it's a Vedanta in a nutshell. We can call it Vedanta in a nutshell. So this alone is expanded in so many other texts. For example, Prasthana Traya, all the Brahma Sutras, the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita. The same idea only is expanded in all those texts. And so what is the summary of the entire Vedanta now? I am of the nature of Sat and Chit. So I am the Sat is revealed in the third verse, and I am the Chit is revealed in the fourth shloka that we saw in the last webinar. So if you take the third and fourth shlokas together, I am the Satchidatma, the formless existence consciousness. And in the second shloka, it was pointed out that the entire material universe, right from my own body-mind complex up to the farthest galaxy, they all rise out of me only, the existence conscious principle. And so, like space, I am all-pervading. So, in me, the formless, all-pervading consciousness existence, the entire material universe rises. This is actually a diagonally opposite principle to science, the science that we know. For science, for example, matter is fundamental. Consciousness evolves after many millennia, after the Big Bang, then life comes. That is what science says. That is, life means consciousness comes. So in science, matter is fundamental and consciousness is an epiphenomenon, an incidental, temporarily located phenomenon in science. Whereas Vedanta is of the diagonally opposite view, and for which it says consciousness existence, the I, that is fundamental. That is why science is called materialism, that is matter pradhana, and Vedanta is called spirituality, it is consciousness pradhana. And in me, the consciousness, as I obtain in sleep and later I wake up, similarly after pralaya, I alone was there, the matter phenomenon arises. And what is the nature of this universe? That we have to go to the first verse. So combining the third and fourth words, what we really get? I am the formless, all-pervading existence consciousness. Then if you go back to the second shloka, then what? Mayevam sakalam jatam, out of me, the all-pervading existence consciousness alone, the entire material universe, including time and space, evolved. Even space-time comes after the Big Bang only. But I was there even before the Big Bang itself. This is the essence we get from the second shloka. And then when we go to the crucial first shloka, which says, this universe is like a mirror, mirror reflection, and the dream universe, which means that the matter is of a lower order of reality. And I am of a higher order. I am means the exist the Satchidatma of the higher order of reality. So out of me, the higher order of reality, the lower order matter arises and falls, which phenomenon eternally continues. This we call it as samsara, whatever it is, it goes on continuing. So just as I sleep, the world is folded, and as I wake up, the world rises. So Unmesha Nimishotpanna Vipanna Bhuvanavali. That is how in Lalita Sahasranama, Amba is described. And what is the advantage of knowing this now? Even though this phenomenon will eternally continue, it has been going on forever, I can choose to allow and enjoy this phenomenon. I won't say, oh, it is a depressing feature. I will enjoy this phenomenon because of one knowledge, that the lower order of reality cannot affect I, the Chaitanyam, the consciousness, the higher order of reality. So if I know the truth of dream, dream is a drama, a free drama actually, without a video cassette recorder or any of those screens, none of those. We get a free channel actually every day perhaps. So if you do not know the truth of this dream, then it may be nightmarish. And this awareness releases me, which is the essence of Vedanta. So Shankaracharya, he condenses these four verses, four shlokas further elsewhere in another work, in one shloka called Advaita Pancharatnam. That is another work of Adi Shankaracharya, Advaita Pancharatnam, where he says, Matto Nanyat Kinchadatrasti Vishwam Satyam Bahyam Vastu Mayopa Kliptam Adarshantar Basamanasya Tulyam Mayadvaite Bhati Tasmachivoham. So the main Dakshinamurti Stotram is over actually with this fourth shloka. So we can, to be honest, we can relax a bit. But now Shankaracharya, he now has a lot of dukkham. He mourns, he grieves, he has a lot of feelings that majority of people are not able to gain this knowledge and enjoy life. And so he cries and he grieves that the human beings can enjoy this wisdom, but they are not able to do it. And because of the lack of this wisdom, it has led to many, many misconceptions. The misconceptions are technically called adhyasaha. In Sanskrit, it is called adhyasaha. In English, we can call this as erroneous perception, perhaps. And the problem is what? Ignorance is bliss, but errors are samsara. If you are only totally ignorant, that's fine. But errors are samsara. So if we can manage to conform to ignorance, as we do in sleep. In sleep, what do we really manage? We continue to be in ignorance without any erroneous perception. And therefore, sleep seems to be happy. But when ignorance is polluted by the error also, which happens, it becomes a problem. And the error also is twofold. One is the error of the non-thinking person, the layman, who doesn't know anything, he is a lay person. And the other is the error of the so-called thinker, the rationalist or thinker, who makes thoughtful errors. Swami Dayanandaji, he gives a beautiful example. For example, in our villages and all, when you enter into a house, the door, you know, it is kept very low. So two types of people, they hit the head on top of the door actually. One man does not see. He does not see the height of the door at all. He just walks, he gets crashes, and he hits the head on the door and suffers. And the other man, who is tall, who is well informed, and he still keeps his head low, and he is extra careful. So he bends his head far away and keeps walking towards the door. And just as he reaches the door, he raises his head and gets hit. So this is called thoughtful mistake. So Swami Dayananda Saraswati gives this as an example, as a thoughtful mistake. Similarly, in Vedanta also, there are two types of people, the layperson and the darshanikaha. The darshanikaha are those, the so-called philosophers. The non-Vedantic philosophers are making thoughtful errors actually. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purvamimamsaka, all these people, they fall in that category. And after seeing the unfortunate condition of the majority of human beings, Adi Shankara looks at himself and the small group of people like him who escaped from this error. And he is really grateful to the Lord that he got saved. And to that Dakshinamurti, because of whose grace he thinks he got out of all the possible philosophical pitfalls, he offers his namaskara to that Dakshinamurti, who is the Guru Murti. That is the essence of this shloka, the fifth shloka, and we will see the details now. And what are the prominent errors? Shankaracharya enumerates them in the first line of the shloka. He says, Viduhu. Viduhu means many people who have misunderstood or who have concluded Atma to be, in the second line, as Aham. So Deham. Deham, this is the biggest majority of people. What do they think? I am the body. They all think I am the body. And so the biography of the body is autobiography for this person, because any person who writes his biography, autobiography, what he writes, he starts with his date of birth and place of birth and all the other things, which clearly says that the body is himself. And this is called Deha Atma Vadaha in Vedanta. Deha Atma Vadaha. And this view, held by majority of lay and illiterate people, thoughtless mistake this is. And there are people who are like philosophers who have thoughtfully committed this mistake also. And who are those people? In our tradition, they are called Charvakaha. These Charvaka people are Lokayitikaha. So these are a lot of people. And many of the modern scientists, they also belong to this group, because they believe there is nothing in an individual other than the body. That is what scientists also think. Science does not accept anything surviving after the death of the body. Once the body dies, the scientists do not believe that there is anything remaining. For them, death is the total destruction of the individual. They do not believe in a mind which can survive. Because for a scientist, mind is nothing but a functioning brain only. Emotions are neurological disturbances for a scientist. Knowledge is again a change in alpha, beta kind of waves. They explain sleeps in terms of so many electrical phenomena and all that, or some such things. So mind, they do not believe. Vasanas, no question of believing at all by the scientists. They don't believe in sukshma shariram and all those things. And where is the question of accepting karana shariram? They don't accept any of those. They will ask, scientifically prove the survival of the mind. And you might know that psychology is not also accepted in science as such. It is accepted only as a pseudoscience most times. Because psyche as a separate entity, different from brain, is not accepted. And even if they accept, they will go by neurology, biochemistry, and those kinds of symptoms, the chemical imbalance and those kinds of things. Again, all emotions, etc., are explained in terms of the visible physical body only. The end of the physical body is the end of the individual, according to science. And what about past janma? They call it a bluff. And what about future janma? It is a bigger bluff. So it is invited. Actually, some people, some rationalists, they may say, all these things are all invited by the Brahmins, who want perhaps Dakshina doing Shraddha Karmas and all that. And then Pranam. There is another group of Charvakas. They say anatomy is not the individual, but the physiology is the individual. There are some of these people. They also argue that anatomy is not the individual. Physiology is. Physiology is what? The functions of the body. So Pranam. Pranam we have to add in everything. Aham iti viduhu. As they consider body as themselves, they consider pranam as themselves. Some say dehaham Deham, aham, iti viduhu. Some people, the body is atma. For some others, pranam, aham, iti viduhu. The prana is atma. And the next version, some other people are there. Indriyani. They say sense organs are atma. So all these come under the Charvaka matam, the group of Charvakas, the materialist people. Otherwise called, they are called also Loka Yathika matam, the materialistic people. And then the next one, Chalam Buddhihi. Buddhihi means the consciousness in this context, Vijnanam. Chalam Buddhihi. These are group of people. They are called Buddhists, Bauddhaha. Among them, there are four groups also. One group is called Yogachara Bauddhaha, Yogachara Buddhism. And they say, consciousness is Atma. Actually, it is very close to Vedanta. They say, this kind of Buddhist, Yogachara Buddhist, they call consciousness as Atma. And that is why many people, instead of saying Buddhism is close to Vedanta, they say Vedanta is close to Buddhism. But their problem is what? They say consciousness is Atma. But Chalam Buddhim, that consciousness is subject to fluctuations, fleeting flow of consciousness, like the waterfalls. That's what they say. So in a waterfall, what happens? Each drop of water that you see in the waterfalls is kept on replaced by another one, another fresh one. So you have a seemingly continuous waterfall. But there is no continuous waterfall at all. It is only a changing entity. Or like a flame or a river, for example. Similarly, the consciousness constantly comes and goes. That's what they say. And that flowing consciousness is Atma, is the philosophy of the Yogacara Buddhists. And there is then the next group of Buddhists. For them, Shunyam Aham Iti Viduhu. And they argue, if consciousness is subject to arrival and departure, between the two consciousness, what should be there? There is an arriving consciousness and there is a departing consciousness. So between them, what would be there? There should be only shunyam only, nothingness, blankness, emptiness. And they say that is the ultimate truth. So in which emptiness, consciousness comes and goes. Because arriving and departing consciousness cannot be permanent. So what is the only permanent thing? Shunyam. Because it doesn't go anywhere. So the vacuum. So the only permanent thing is vacuum or shunyam. So shunyam, that is called Shunyavada Buddhism. So previous one is Yogacharaha. And the last one we just saw is Shunyavada. So shunyam ahamiti viduhu. And not only they have committed this mistake, they are Brantaha. Having erroneous perceptions also. So that is the Brahmavantaha. They all have Brahmas. Or Adhyasavantaha, wrong perceptions. So, Brishamvadinaha, we can never hope to correct these people at all because they are very, very sure that they are correct and they alone are correct. They also think that they alone are correct. So, as the Upanishad, what it says? Avidyaya mantare vartamanaha swayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. These are the people they think like that. They are the greatest. They are the dhiras, they are the rationalists, that's what they think. They consider that they are the wisest people and they very vehemently argue also. So when they do some such thing like that, how can you ever teach such a person? So like the person who went to the Zen scholar, there was this Zen scholar. And this person went to him and he said that he wants to learn something from the Zen scholar. And he said that he will first introduce himself to the scholar. So the introduction started and continued and on and on and on. He has gone for learning and all the time he has been talking about himself, his views, his philosophy, all the things he started to tell to the scholar. Then the Zen monk, he got a cup and a pot of tea he brought. And he started pouring tea for this person. And the cup got filled and the monk continued to pour. Then the other person, he asked him, "You are supposed to be a great scholar. Don't you know that once the cup is full, you cannot pour anymore?" That's what he asked the scholar. And the scholar replied, "Yes, I know. I want to share this idea with you. Your cup is already full. I cannot talk or give you anything at all more." So that is what the scholar told this person. Similarly, these people's cups are already full. So these people cannot be taught anything. So Brisham Vadinaha, they are not ordinary Vadis. Vehemently they argue also. And a wise man, he will never open the mouth. Just as Krishna never opened his mouth throughout the entire first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna was giving a lecture to Krishna. Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanaha dharma nishte kulam krishnam. All kinds of things he started to talk to him. He was teaching dharma, dharma shastram to Krishna. What poor Krishna can do? He only observed in silence. Therefore, even omnipotent Krishna is helpless with respect to these people. And why it happened? Because the instruments which have to get this knowledge have got varieties of deficiencies, varieties of defects because of intellectual deficiency. And here Shankaracharya wants to convey four types of intellectual deficiencies in this shloka. And the first type of deficiency is an emotional personality, overpowering the rational intellectual personality. So emotions overcome the intellect. So manomaya kosha dominating the vijnanamaya kosha. Manomaya kosha is emotions. There are emotions are needed because they make a human being. Otherwise we will be like rocks. So emotions are needed. Same thing happened to Arjuna also. Karpanya doshopagata swabhavaha prichamitvam dharmasam mudachedaha. He told all that. And his intellect was clouded because of karpanya dosha, kripaya paraya vishtaha. So attachment, all those things. Similarly, an emotional mind, when it comes to religion or philosophy, it again wants a personal god with whom he or she can relate. An emotional mind wants relationship. That is why in Vedanta, they prescribed sannyasa. Because you are emotionally strong only if you can survive without any relationships. Somebody will tell you, you belong to me, I belong to you. If someone has to survive without these relations, it requires tremendous emotional strength. A weak mind always wants relationships. And since all worldly relationships are problems, it wants to have a divine relationship in the form of Krishna or Rama or Devi or Ganesha. It wants to cry. It wants to talk. Again, it wants to continue another type of samsara in the form of religion and even in philosophy. And some of the Vedanta philosophers, they are also such. They write commentaries on Upanishads. But their concept of moksha is what? You will go to Vaikuntha or Kailasha and ideally enjoy the Swami Brithya Bhava in front of the Lord. You will enjoy lying on the lap of the Lord. Again, their moksha is what? A relationship of love, security, and all those things. And to that mind, you talk of ultimate God as Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Agandam, Arasam. Then they will say, who wants such a God? They want a God with lot of rasam, not arasam. One author had written, actually he had written a magazine, it was long ago. He praised Lord Guru Ayurappan. Oh Guru Ayurappa, don't bring that Vedanta to me, which makes all Namarupa as mithya, including your wonderful form. He doesn't want that Vedanta. He wants to enjoy that wonderful form of Guru Ayurappan because he enjoys the relationship with that Lord. Lord as mother, husband, child, friend. In fact, we have got literature after literature after literature addressing the Lord and nourishing the relationship with the Lord. Vedanta tells it is wonderful, but that is not ultimate. And it requires an intellect which is not overpowered by the emotional need for any relationship whatsoever. Gaudapada, he tells in his Karika that most of the people are afraid of Advaitam. Because Advaitam means no scope for any relationship whatsoever. In fact, I am surviving because one or the other relationship, that is what normally people think. And that is why the people go through tremendous agony when certain relationships are broken, either temporarily or permanently because of death. And therefore, an unreleased intellect an intellect which is a hostage of emotion, that intellect cannot understand Aham Brahma Asmi. That is one big impediment. It cannot understand Aham Brahma Asmi. And there are many people who say, I love Vedanta for studying, but for all practical purposes, I will have a God and I will nourish that God feeling. I don't want to be God. I want to be near God. Nobody wants to be God. They all want to be near God, under the protection of the God. I don't want to be sugar, but I would like to enjoy sugar. That is most people. If I am Krishna, how can I enjoy then Krishna? I have to objectify Krishna. Then only I can enjoy him. So Shankaracharya says, such an emotion, overwhelmed intellect is number one. First deficiency. And the second deficiency is an immature intellect. It's an undeveloped intellect which does not have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadhi Shakta Sampatti, Mumukshutvam, all those things it does not have. So Pariksha Lokan is not enough, and so undeveloped intellect it is. So first we said the unreleased intellect, and the second one is undeveloped intellect. And the third one is an intellect, however great it is, can never grasp the teaching if it is not aided by or supported by Shastra. That is the third variety. Different objects of knowledge require different instruments to enhance your power of perception. For example, if I want to study the microbes, I might have very, very 20-20 vision, but I should be humble enough to admit and seek the aid of a microscope. I should not be egoistic and say, I want to see the microbes through my naked eyes. That is foolishness. If I want to see the farthest star, the eye should be aided by a telescope powerful enough to help me see that star. If I want to see with my own eyes, I need my eyes, and I also take the aid of a telescope, both. So our greatness is not going to decrease because of taking the help of a mirror. In fact, our greatness only increases if you take the aid of something else. So Swami Dayananda says, intelligence is seeking help whenever it is needed. That is intelligence. In the world, how many people are there to help us? If the population is 5 billion, 5 billion minus 1 are there to help us, provided we go and ask. The one is myself. I am the one who needs help. So there are so many people in the world who are ready to help, provided we ask and are willing to take the help in the right manner. Similarly, self-knowledge requires an intellect enhanced by or boosted by the Shastras. So the science of self-knowledge requires the help of Shastras. So Shankaracharya tells actually in the Gita commentary, Shastra Acharya Samskritam Antakaranam Jnane Karanam. So that is the thing. So Shastra Acharya Samskritam Antakaranam. So a mind which is assisted by the Guru Shastra Upadesha, that alone can know. Other minds cannot know. And if I don't take that help, my intellect is an unaided intellect. So that is the third deficiency. So first one is unreleased intellect. Second one is undeveloped intellect. And the third one is unaided intellect. And the fourth and the final is a retarded intellect, which is incapable of growth. The difference between a child and the retarded is what? In a child, the potential for growth is there. In a child, the potential for growth is there, but it is not grown up yet. Potential for growth is there, but the child is not grown up yet. By retarded intellect, what do we mean? The person is grown up, is aged physically, but the intellect growth is obstructed. Growth of intellect is obstructed. Obstruction can be due to various psychological problems. Purva Janma Pradibandhas, they all could be there to contribute to the obstruction of the growth of intellect. So to denote these four types of intellect, Shankaracharya uses four words here. Stri, Bala, Andha, Jada. So these four words he uses: stri, bala, andha, and jada. Stri. Actually, stri means, when I say that, people, I should be careful, and people also should not mistake me. There is a wide belief. And what is that wide belief? That women are emotionally dominated people, emotion-driven people. So it's a symbol given. So you can use any other word also. So what Shankaracharya wants to communicate is, whether the physical body is male or female does not matter. We are not focusing on the type of body, because knowledge is not taking place in the body. Such people who are emotionally driven. So what he wants to really communicate is that type of body which is emotion dominant. So when he says three, ladies who don't have to think that Shankaracharya isolated them, it is generally for anybody who is emotion driven. And such a mind will not like Advaitam. Because of what? It emphasizes a transpersonal God. So it will not like Advaitam. And all philosophies emphasize a personal God. So stri. Stri is unreleased intellect. Then the next word is what? Bala. Bala represents the undeveloped intellect. Because a child is not capable of thinking. It is not trained. Child is still a child. It cannot think for itself. Not trained through tarka and all those kinds of reasoning. Because self-knowledge is such a difficult subject, there is a lot of reasoning required. And so the child is not equipped. So the child is still what? It is an undeveloped intellect. Example for an undeveloped intellect. And the third word is andaha. Andaha refers to the unaided intellect. Literally, andaha means is blind. And what is blindness here? Not using the Shastra Pramanam. It makes a person partially blind. A person who does not use Shastra Pramanam. If you have to know the spiritual truth, we need two eyes. One is the regular eye called Buddhi Chakshuhu, the intellect eye. And the other eye is called Shastra Chakshuhu, the teaching eye. Shastram minus Buddhi is useless. And Buddhi minus Shastram is also useless. Without Shastram, you can arrive at the law of gravitation perhaps. They are all empirical knowledge. But when we talk about non-empirical knowledge, which we call it as apaurusheya vishayas, suprasensuous subject matter, Buddhi is insufficient. We require Shastram. We require the help of Shastram. And when one of them is not there, a person becomes partially blind. When both are not there, the person is totally blind. So when Buddhi and Shastram both are absent, that person is totally blind. So microscope and eyes, both are required. Similarly, in the other example is what? I want to see my eyes, for example. What are the two things needed? I need my eyes first, and then I also need the mirror. So that I will be able to see my own eyes through the aid of the mirror. So, yasya nasti swayam prajna shastram tasya karoti kim. Lochana abhyam vihinasya darpanaham kim karishyati. What is the use of the mirror? So these people, andaha, they are all logicians who refuse to accept Shastra Pramanam. They try to argue in their own rational ways and all, but they do not want to seek the Pramana of Shastras. So Sureshwaracharya calls them Anumanaika Chakshushaha. Anumanaika Chakshushaha means having only one eye in the form of logical thinking and missing the second eye of Shastram. All Anumanas they make, but they miss Shastram. So Stri, Bala, and Andaha represent these three examples. And the fourth one is Jadaha. Jadaha means a retarded intellect. An intelligent intellect. Because of some prarabdha karma, the intellect is dull for such people. An intelligent intellect. So, what is the difference between Bala and Jada? Both are undeveloped only. But the difference is, this person is a child. And so, is not developed. Whereas the other person is physically developed, but not mentally developed. And so unreleased, undeveloped, unaided, and unintelligent intellect. These are the four types of deficiencies. They all vehemently argue. What do they argue? Deham, aham, iti. I am the body. That is what they all argue. And Shankaracharya looks at himself. Oh, thank God. Somehow, I am not in that group of confusion. I escaped. I have got an intellect which is free from all these fourfold defects, and I am intelligent enough to understand that. And also, I have got Shraddha. In Vedanta Shastra, I have got Shraddha in that. And that Shraddha means faith. Faith is what? Guru Vedanta Vakyadishum Vishwasaha Shraddha. Guru Vedanta Vakya in Shastra. So, the Shraddha, the faith in Shastra I have. And therefore, I have rescued myself. And if I could get out of this confusion, it is only because of the external aid that I got. And what is that aid? Shastra Pramana. So, with the help of Shastras, I am able to get out of this confusion. Therefore, I am indebted to Shastram. That's what Shankaracharya feels. I am indebted to the Shastram. And if Shastram is meaningful to me, then I am indebted to another person also. If I am indebted to Shastram, that means I am indebted to another person also. Shastram by itself would not have spoken to me anything. Shastram, how it can speak to anyone by itself? And if Shastram is communicating anything at all, it is purely because of my Guru. Through him only I could understand the Shastram. In fact, Shastram is made a pramanam by my Guru alone. So if Guru is not there, Shastram will be taken as another book only. Then I am permanently finished. Because I will think I got a book knowledge and I have to realize Brahman later. That's what I will be thinking. This immediate knowledge of Brahman will not be available to me. That will be available only when that is explained to me by my Guru. I can read a book, a textbook, and then I will have that book knowledge. And having got that book knowledge, I will think I have to realize Brahman later. That Brahman knowledge will come some other time. So Shastram is never a book. It should be seen as pramanam. Understanding and realization, they both are identical. When it comes to Vedanta, understanding and realization are both identical. There is no difference between understanding the Shastra and realization of Atma. Both are at the same time. This dichotomy is there only in the objective world. In the objective world only this dichotomy is there. As was told earlier many times, with respect to Gangotri or Yamunotri, any of those places, there is a book knowledge. You can read all about the Ganges, all about Gangotri, Yamunotri, all those places you can read from the book. But the experiential knowledge is totally different. Same thing, for example, we can read all about mango. They will say it is sweet, it is this color, that color, everything. But by reading about mango, you cannot experience mango. So Guru plays a very, very important role. So in Atma, Shastra Jnanam is complete only when the experiential awareness, that thing comes, that is provided to us by the Guru. Guru plays a very, very important role in enabling me to understand that. And so Shankaracharya says, I am indebted to Shastram and more indebted to the Guru, to my Guru. And that Guru who destroyed all my confusions, that confusion destroyer Guru, I offer my namaskarams to him. And therefore, the Guru is given a long title by Shankaracharya in this particular shloka. He says, Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoka Samkari. It's a big, long sentence. Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoka Samkari. To that Guru, who is none other than Dakshinamurti, my namaskaram. This is the third line. So, Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoha Samharine. Whenever you get a long word, actually in Sanskrit, this is like a rule of thumb. One should always travel from the right to the left in understanding the meaning. We can say temporally it is like Arabic. You know, this Arabic language, they write from the right to left. So, here we have to start from the right. Samharine, that's the last part of this particular word, Samharine. My guru is a destroyer. Samharaha is destruction. Samhari means destroyer. And it is here Chaturthi Vibhakti, Samharine, Samhari, Samharinau, Samharinaha. So it's Chaturthi Ekavachanam. And it is in the fourth case because what? It's Namaha. Namaskaram to him. Namaskaram governs the fourth case. So guru is a destroyer. And Vyamohaha. Vyamohaha means confusion, delusion, brantihi. With respect to what? With respect to self, oneself. So it is self-delusion. Vyamohaha. So I keep on learning everything from LKG onwards, but never ask this question. Kastvam, koham, kutayataha, kame janani, kometataha. We never ask any of those questions at all. Who am I? Question we never asked. We are asking everybody else, who are you? What are you? We are always interested in knowing about all others except ourselves. We never ask the question, who am I? That's tragedy number two. So tragedy number one is what? Starting the life without asking the question, who am I? And tragedy number two is what? We die also without that inquiry. Throughout the entire life, we have been leading so many years of life without that question. So we are born with that ignorance, we also die. Because balastavadim krida saktaha, tarunastavadim taruni saktaha, and vriddhastavadim chinta saktaha. So we have all the time, we have some problem or the other, some engagement or the other. We may say we have no time at all to ask that question. So that is a self-delusion. And what type of self-delusion it is? Again, mahavyamohaha. Shankaracharya says, which is a huge, intense delusion. It's an extraordinary delusion. And why we say it's an extraordinary delusion? Because it has started from beginningless time. Other confusions came in between and went away. But this confusion is right from this birth. It was there in my previous birth. It was there in that previous birth also. Because it was answered in any of those births, I would not have been born. The very fact that I am born, I never knew the answer to this question in any of my previous births at all. So time-wise, it is big. Not only that, space-wise also, this confusion is universal. Whereas if you take other confusions, I may have some confusion about some place, for example. I may have or may not, you know, I might have seen that place. May not, the other person might not have seen the place. So time-wise and space-wise, this is big. Whereas the other self-confusion may not be universal. I may know, the other person only may not know. But here, the time-wise and space-wise is a big delusion. So it is Mahavyamoha. And that Mahavyamoha, my guru destroyed. He is the one who enabled me to understand my nature. And how did this confusion come? He says, kalpitam, caused by, created by what? It is kalpitam. Vilasa. Vilasa actually has two meanings. One is, it's a play. It's a play or sport. Sport of what? Maya Shakti. The power of Maya. So play or sport are the operation of the Maya Shakti. So what will be the final translation now if you look at that? The guru, who is the destroyer of the great delusion caused by the play of the power of Maya. And this is the one that the guru destroyed. That is one meaning. Or a part of the Maya Shakti, Ekadeshaha. That is, why we say it's part of Maya Shakti? Because again, Maya Shakti has got twofold Shaktis. One is called Avarana Shakti and the other one is called Vikshepa Shakti. Avarana Shakti and Vikshepa Shakti. Avarna Shakti, what does it cause? Avarna Shakti causes ignorance. And Vikshepa Shakti causes confusion. One is ignorance, another is confusion. So confusion is caused by the Vikshepa Shakti. And for example, when the rope is covered by ignorance, it is called Avarna Shakti. When the rope, you think, you don't know it's a rope, you think it's a snake. So the rope is covered by ignorance, it is called Avarna Shakti. And when the delusion of snake is caused by Vikshepa Shakti. So the rope is covered by ignorance and the delusion that it is a snake that is cast by Vikshepa. So here the Mahavyamoha is cast by the Vikshepa Shakti of Maya. And such a delusion the Guru destroyed. The Guru is the person who enabled to destroy that confusion, that great confusion. And how does the Guru destroy the confusion? That is actually a side topic. Guru never directly destroys the delusion. You have to understand. When we say Guru destroys the delusion, Guru never directly destroys the delusion. In fact, error can never be directly destroyed. And so is delusion. And error can never be directly destroyed. And so is delusion. Error is caused by what? By ignorance. The source of error is ignorance. And only when you destroy ignorance, the root, delusion, will be destroyed. You cannot directly destroy delusion. You should destroy the cause for delusion, namely the ignorance. Delusion is only the symptom. And ignorance is the disease. That alone has to be cured. And that is why during sleep, the delusions are gone. When you are sleeping, I don't say I am the body or mind. All the delusions are gone in sleep. And we experience moksha also in sleep. Liberation. During sleep, we are all liberated. Even other people are liberated from us also during sleep. So, why sleep is not moksha, but even though we are going through this experience every day, why it is not moksha yet? Because in sleep, symptoms of delusions are gone, but the disease called ignorance is still there. When I wake up, it is still there. It's not gone. The symptomatic cure is done in sleep, but the actual cure has not happened during sleep, because that can happen only at the dawn of understanding, dawn of knowledge, self-knowledge. And so what is required? You have to remove the disease of self-ignorance. That has to be removed first. And what will happen? And then that will happen through what? That can happen only through Vedanta Shravana. Vedanta Shravanam alone can cure the disease of ignorance. Even Samadhi, for example, somebody says he's a great yogi. I go into Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is only still a symptomatic cure only. It is not a permanent cure. They are very, very happy during that time. They may experience bliss during the Samadhi. But after the Samadhi, it may experience maybe a few minutes, maybe half an hour, 1 hour, whatever, or even several hours. When they come back from the Samadhi, they are still the same lot like everybody else. For example, pain is even more for such people. It is like coming out of an AC room. Inside the AC room in summer, we are very, very happy. The moment you come out of the AC room, we feel much more problematic discomfort, because we don't know the dependency. That aspect has to be removed, and we don't know how to remove it. So that is why Vedanta says you need not go to even Samadhi. All those Nirvikalpa Samadhi and all that things, you don't have to go to any of them. Learn Shastra systematically. So Vedanta always tells people to get education of the Shastras. Learn Shastras, inquire Shastras. Always do Shastra Vichara only. So instead of having a symptomatic cure, have a permanent cure through right knowledge. So right knowledge is always the emphasis of Vedanta. All the time try to gain the knowledge through Shastras, through the help of a guru. And once it is gained, then there is nothing else to be learned. So Samadhi is emphasized in Yoga Shastra. Yoga and all that things, you know, Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. And that is all emphasized in Yoga Shastra. Shastra study is emphasized in Vedanta Shastra. That is the fundamental difference between Yoga Shastra and Vedanta Shastra. Nowadays, Yoga and Vedanta are mixed up in several places. People use both these terms even synonymously in many places. We have to clearly know that Vedanta emphasizes Shastraic study, the study of the Shastras, and removal of ignorance, self-ignorance. These are the two things that Vedanta says. Study the Shastras, remove self-ignorance. Whereas Yoga talks about so many other things, He talks about samadhi and this and that and all, but does not talk about self-knowledge. He does not talk about Vedanta Shastra study and self-knowledge. And therefore, O Guru, who is the destroyer of the ignorance and the consequent delusion permanently? To that Guru, I offer my namaskarams. To that Guru, the Dakshinamurti, who is none other than my Guru. Tasmai Sri Gurave, Sri Dakshinamurtaye, Gurave Namaha. To that Guru, my namaskaram. Who is none other than Dakshinamurti, my namaskaram to that Guru. And that concludes the fifth shloka, and we will start with the sixth shloka in the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Linasya Parasamaheshwaraha.